taste of Melbourne's diverse poetry scene.
Poets using their voices to entertain, to move, to take you on a journey.
Connecting you to grassroots poetry and performance. Welcome to 3CR Spoken Word Show. My name is Indrani Pereira, and I'm broadcasting from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, stolen land. We pay our respects to elders past and present, always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Spoken word and poetry come from the heart and touch all the topics peculiar to the human condition. As such, there may be content in this show that could cause distress. Please practice self-care when listening and speak to someone if you need to. For the next half an hour, I'm going to be interviewing poet Alex Creese. And just a warning for this show that there may be strong language. Alex Creese is a writer, editor, collage artist and average kook living on Wadawurrung land. Alex is the managing editor of the Cordite Poetry Review and an online editor at Archer magazine, and her writing has been widely published. Alex is the author of Potty Mouth, Potty Mouth, Cordite Books in 2024, which was highly commended in the Five Islands Poetry Prize. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it is my pleasure. But I just have to start with average kook.
Yes, it's one of those things that's been in my bio for a long time. And like, you know, when you have like an earlier version of your bio and when you don't have a lot of credits, you've got some kind of a little bit cringe stuff in there. Like you might be like, I like sitting under the moon or something like that. I've had average kook in there for a while, and sometimes people have recommended making my bio more professional just by removing that, but I feel like I need a little bit of that remnant of that early bio and that sort of less professional time. Like, I'm very lucky that I can put all the other fancy sounding stuff in my bio, but average kook, I think, probably encapsulates me most accurately. So even if it's cringe to put in my bio, it's who I am.
I like the idea that you're bringing your old self along and keeping it with your new self.
Yeah, the self is a scattered thing, and I'm trying to keep it all intact and patchwork it together and, like, accept every part of that.
I'm wondering, though, about average. Like, why average kook?
I think that something important to me is kind of trying to get away from an exceptionalism mindset that I think can be very prevalent in creative spaces and academic spaces where, you know, we're encouraged to compete with each other, or we're encouraged to be the best. And I want to align myself with, like, my communities and, like, every person rather than, like, necessarily, you know, putting my work as something particularly special. Like, I enjoy what I do, and I do it because I enjoy it. And yeah, again, very privileged to have like the sort of fancy titles or things like that in my bio. But at the end of the day, I'm an average kook, and in a way that I think we all are. We all have our own ways. And I think that's really important to celebrate and remember at the end of the day.
Makes it easy to relate to people too, because then they're not on a pedestal or doing something unattainable.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, especially like in my roles and in my poetry, sometimes I do notice this sort of mentality of people thinking like a certain poet is like kind of like too accomplished to like approach or talk to or something like that. And I just don't like that kind of thing. Like, I want to be approachable to people, and like, if I like someone's poetry, I want to be able to go up to them and say, I love your poetry, even if, you know, they get all of the awards and everything like that. I think it's really important to approach each other as humans.
100%. I agree. And speaking of poetry, would you like to read us one of your poems?
Yes, absolutely. Because collage is a big part of my practice, I'm going to start with a collage poem. This one I made from mashup of porn magazines and religious magazines, and it's called God Wants You to Come. Be baptized, fap-worthy, for the Lord. He says, I will come in a warm apple pie, like Sexodus, Exodus, mooing meat for magic, goosebumps and Gallic blumpkins. Forsake the patriarch's taboo tongue, jizness career of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it wonderful to lobotomize Cupid and abort the cream of his Eurodorks? Pray for cray cray upon the altar in your bosom. We call on the name of the froggy fuctress who maketh a psalm or a cup of rum, naughty niceties in her blood garden. Thank wank that our God is a Kleenex wasting killjoy. Let heaven hand jive as hell LOLs. Need a mint? One of those little ones in tins from Coles.
You are listening to Radio 3CR, 855 on the AM dial, and you just had Alex Creese with her poem, God Wants You to Come, and the idea that you've just mashed up the porn magazines and religious texts and made a poem. This is what I love about talking to poets, because they have these crazy ideas and they bring things together that you wouldn't normally think to put together. So is that something that you do, like, with your practice of collage?
Yeah, I think that it's something I really love about collage, both in thinking about collage as a visual practice and as a textual practice. You know, we're so inundated with imagery and information all around us, and often it feels like very intrusive, this sort of way media permeates things and also, like, affects how we see ourselves, how we feel about things, and, like, you know, looking back on childhood and stuff and thinking about how media has shaped you as a person, not you specifically, but the general you. And I think for me, collage kind of can take something that is existing in the context of the dominant society and you can reclaim it in your own context. And you can also take things that have been made for a specific purpose. So, for example, a religious pamphlet that is kind of used to share a particular message, and I can take that and sort of be like, I want to corrupt this in a way or put this with something that it was never meant to sit with and sort of see what interesting connections or ideas come out of that. I get a lot of, like, pamphlets in the mail about, like, end of the world and all of this kind of stuff, or like Scientology pamphlets, and media tends to make me anxious. So I think that for me, taking these messages and feeling like I can put scissors to them, I can change them around and make my own sort of meaning from it, is a way of, I don't know, empowering, I guess.
So then it becomes you shaping the media instead of being shaped by it.
Yeah, and I think especially, like, you know, I have a lot of, like, a lot of magazines and newspapers and all sorts of things that we see will be communicating, whether directly or indirectly, a lot of ideas about marginalized people, whether that be gender, race, disability, all of these important aspects of our identity. We're constantly getting often negative messages about them. So I think for me, collage is a way to be like, what if that story is driven by somebody who was written about, rather than, you know, being able to lead their own story?
Oh, I think it's very interesting, this marriage that you have in this poem, and I don't know if this extends to the collage in general that you do, but the marriage between the profane and the sacred.
Yes.
So that's quite interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, you know, my book is called Potty Mouth, Potty Mouth. I'm obviously interested in the profane. And I think that there are lots of things in the world that sort of we hold sacred that I feel like we shouldn't. For example, I don't care about necessarily, like, you know, say corporate culture or professionalism. That is something that a lot of people take really seriously that I definitely don't care about. But then there are other things like nature and people and humanity that is not treated as sacred that I think it really should be. So I think that muddying kind of those lines between profane and sacred is, like, part of the world that we live in.
And it's interesting too. I feel that sometimes that we've kind of got everything backwards. You know, it's all kind of wrong. Instead of valuing people and connection and humanity and how we sit in the world as animals, instead we're like, oh, yes, let's chase these imaginary concepts like money and prestige and power. And
yeah, that's something I'm very interested in as well. And, yeah, thinking about us as animals on the earth and, like, how we treat each other and kind of, like, the way that, yeah, the Western society is set up is so non-conducive to our thriving and, yeah, being able to connect with each other and care for each other.
Very, very powerful. And so is your poetry. And I would love to hear another poem, if we may, please.
Yes. So this next poem is, I'm just going to get into it. It's called On Special. Hold me like hospital hands. Square-eyed and cubist in the cranium. It all happens and happens and, sorry, just need to do your obs for the night. His talcum phlegm chalks yesterday's sneeze, chokes me with a slap of latex. Clip my supervised toenails. Don't forget your socks. Bare feet are dangerous, but you're safe. So safe here. No, I'm not offended. We can discuss it all. Each pair of shoes I can't grow into, these toys I don't grow out of, the things I won't become. I have no other choice. No, I'm really not offended. Have no other choice. Cut your throat from the inside out. Eggshelled esophagus, soggy and perforated and perfect as you. Let me build a nest from polio death. Like the bones of a treehouse carried by its still-blossomed brother. I've got a bird-like appetite, and by this I mean I pick at carcasses and swoop your bleach-breathed children until they're down the hatch and vomiting underpants. A snow cone upturned on the sidewalk. I cannot reach inside until I melt. Melt. I need help. Bleeding blue raspberry in Ramadan through the blacked out windows of Howl's moving Casbah. 7 types of sand, did you know? Does it matter? I buy Frankenstein and fried rice in the absence of all else. 10 years of howling into melted dust. But what will come next? Its echo or an ending? Bodies of blisters, bow-legged, so topical I rub them into broken skin. My pieces are missing because I ate them in the womb. A mother's bile regurgitated, varicose veins in a venous trap, genetic flaws, my only life to live. And I'd eat you too.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio 855 AM on digital and online. 3CR Radical Radio.
Accented women.
It seems so obvious to me that if you live in a completely violent cultural milieu, that it's going to translate into every aspect of women's lives.
Accented women.
What's a border? They don't see it like a big wall right along the
How can country. People live ordinary lives when they're living in such an extraordinary situation where there are armies there and terrorists there and such conflict every single day of their lives?
Accented women.
A show by and about women from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds.
On Community Radio 3CR.
Green Left Weekly Radio.
It's the people's voice, committed to human and civil rights, environmental sustainability, democracy and equality.
There is one newspaper that is independent of powerful interests, and that's Green Left Weekly.
It presents ideas mainstream media won't. It exposes the lies and distortions of the power brokers and helps us to better understand the world around us.
It's the leading source of local, national and international news, analysis and discussion and debate to strengthen the anti-capitalist movements. Tune in every Friday morning at 8 a.m. on 3CR.
You're listening to 3CR's Spoken Word Show, 855 on the AM dial. My name is Indrani Pereira and I'm interviewing poet Alex Creese. You heard Alex with her poem On Special, and before the break we were also talking about collage poetry, and I'm really fascinated by the idea of collage poetry. I've heard of collage as an art form where you get magazines and whatnot and cut them up and paste it. How does that work when you're looking at texts?
That's a really good question. So in terms of using text for collage, it works much the same sort of way. I think sometimes for me, it can be even a little bit more organic in the way that text shows up in our lives in so many different ways. Like at the moment, I'm working on a series of, I guess you would call them collage poems, but they're all collaged out of text messages or fragments from this kind of like online communication and the sort of memeified world that we live in. So I think that when it comes to text, like you see so much, you read so much around you that you kind of don't even realize you're reading. I'm looking at a box here that's got some paper in it and it says unwrapped, 100% recycled, Planet Ark. Like, these are all like words that exist around me and that we sort of take for granted. Like, we're advertised at a lot. So I think that we just sort of tune things out. But yeah, if you kind of sit with lots of different texts, whether they are things like magazines and newspapers or whether they are what is sometimes called digital debris. I don't know where that originated, but I first heard it from Panda Wong, who is a poet that I love and a wonderful person that I love. And yeah, if we think about all of this information that we're taking in, we've actually got a lot of collage materials constantly around us, and it doesn't always have to be a process of physically cutting something. I like physically cutting things up a lot. I always have some scissors on hand. But if, you know, if you walk around your location and even take like a handheld scanner and just like try to take in the amount of text that there is, thinking about things like receipts that you get at the chemist or something like that, there's all this information. And I think that my approach is just sort of looking at that information as like a poetic potential. And the way that I often construct a poem, whether it's a collage poem or not, will often be a sort of slow process of gathering things together, seeing where they land with each other, and seeing what new meanings are made. So I think collage for me is a very mindful sort of practice.
I was thinking that as you're talking, that it sounds like it's a very mindful practice. And I'm wondering, I've got so many questions in my head, I don't know which one to ask first, but maybe I'll start with, when you're collaging and creating a poem, do you use your own text as well, or do you solely use like collaged words?
I do a bit of both. So I try not to be too rigid with myself about how a particular poem comes together. If it starts with a few lines of collaged material, but then it blooms into an idea where I am writing from the top of my head or flowing in a completely different direction, I am open to that. It really depends on the piece and sort of where it takes me. When I write a poem, I really am not kind of thinking about the destination. I'm really trying to be present in that process and kind of let it take the form and the direction that the poem is kind of pointing towards.
So it sounds like it's a very organic process.
Yeah.
I was also wondering, with the process, it sounds like you don't have an idea when you start and you're letting those found pieces of text take you places.
Yeah.
And I've completely forgotten my question. Oh my goodness. So maybe if we have a poem and I can do some more thinking,
mm-hmm.
and that way I maybe will remember the question or ask something else, yeah. entirely.
Would you like another collage poem or any kind of poem?
Oh, I'd love to be able to ask the listeners to vote, but they can't, unfortunately, because we're not a phone-in show. So let's get something different because we've had two collages.
All right, beautiful. Actually, that is not correct. We've had one collage and one non-collage, and now I'm going to do On Special was not a collage poem, but it did have a cubist sort of approach where I took in a lot of materials, sounds, voices from surroundings and crafted a poem around that. So it had its own process, but it wasn't technically a collage poem. I'm going to read a bit of a silly poem, and it's called James Joyce's Fart Fetish. Shroom dust in a shisha pipe, bubbles in the dregs of your milkshake, burning a hole in my carpet. School of rock with a scabby angel, rusty but unrustic, too poor to tickle a hipster's ding-a-ling. Do you need another? I'll take one anyway. Is this treating myself? Jack Black is raving and retching out of the television, like the little girl from The Ring. You know that's Lilo, right? She never wants it to rain because her parents died there. It's true. Mozart loved getting his ass eaten. No, I swear. I'll look it up right now. See? Buttholes have taste holes. Huh? Taste buds. Taste buds. Like a portrait of the fartist as a young... Stop. I'm not ready. I'm young. I'm too young. Concept. A fleshlight in a boot. Call it puss in. All this innovation. And for what? A capricious fizzle as I'm sogged up and dredged out, trying to wash my hair like a commercial mirage selling an overlit dream. Give me the towel. Get out. I might be vulgar, but I don't want this. Hey, when can we catch up? Are you free? Don't fucking slip me the tongue and blame it on Freud. I may be stoned, but I still hate this. Oh, you want money for those drugs from like a year ago? I offered at the time. Huh? I'm a pariah or a parasite, but I can't be both. Sure, you're hung. Like a Third Reich Zeppelin. With the sexual charisma of garbanzo beans. Or like you're the man from Cranbourne, getting his moment on A Current Affair. I just want to go home. Or anywhere else, really. Even Cranbourne. Maybe.
You're listening to Radio 3CR 855 on the AM dial, and I'm Indrani Pereira on the Spoken Word Show. We're chatting to Alex Creese, and you just heard Alex Creese with her poem with a great title, James Joyce's Fart Fetish. And I like that you were even willing to go to Cranbourne. Maybe.
Thank you.
Yep, that was great.
Thanks.
So I did remember the question I wanted to ask you.
Go for it.
Yes, before you read that wonderful poem. And the question was, given that these are collage poems, do you attribute the words that you take from places? Do you say, like, this came from a rapper or stuff like that?
I would say that generally with my collage poetry, I am cutting up words or maybe, like, say, like, two words and then mixing them around together. So I'm not like quoting full lines of text or anything like that. And I do try to be mindful of where I am like getting the text from, because I do think that is part of the collage process, is like not divorcing it from its original context. Like, I want to reclaim things from certain contexts and reframe them in a new way, but other texts, like, for example, I wouldn't collage someone's poem without permission or something like that. But generally I will credit generally where the materials have come from. So for example, with the poem I read, God Wants You to Come, I didn't specify the exact magazines, but I specified like the genre of magazines. And yeah, with those ones, all of the words were cut up individually and then reframed by me. So I wasn't lifting any direct expression from another person. I was just kind of using the same words to create new links and new sentences.
So that's interesting. It's like it's a... can't think of the word. Brainstorming's not the word I want. Like, it's a creative spark or an impetus. It's something that takes you
there. Yes, yes. And I think, like, for me, it's something that can be really helpful with writer's block and, like, this fear that we sometimes have of turning to the blank page and being like, what do I do with this? sometimes having a bit of a prompt or something to sort of springboard your ideas can be really helpful.
I was thinking it gives you a framework as well, that the words are there, which you can then play with and reclaim, as you were mentioning yes. earlier. But also then there's this a scaffolding, I guess, if you like.
Yes, that's actually what I was going to say. It serves a bit of a parameter where it's kind of like, rather than just like open up a blank page and start writing, it's kind of like, here are a funny collection of words, or here are some things to look at. And if I am working within that parameter of like, all right, I'm going to try to make an interesting sentence using, you know, say like a bowl full of cut up words, it is giving me a game to play, which is fun, and it takes the pressure off the writing process, but it's also giving me a parameter. And I think as well, sometimes, I don't know if other people probably feel this way, I've never had a unique experience in my life, but sometimes it's like, you can feel a little bit shy about words that you have just purely written onto a page. It can feel really vulnerable. So I think that sometimes starting with some sort of game or parameter or, yeah, a collage activity where you scrap a sentence together out of something else, it's kind of like, here's something I put together, but I didn't directly put pen to paper, and like, I'm not like showing you my soul in the exact same way. I'm kind of showing you my interpretation through existing materials that I've found in the world.
That's a great way to describe it. Thank and you. I have so enjoyed having you on the show.
Thank
and
you.
I'm really sad to say that we've come to the end.
Oh my God, that went quickly.
It did, didn't it? Thank you for listening. I'm Indrani Pereira. It's the Spoken Word Show on 3CR, and we have had a blast.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been wonderful.
Oh, it's been amazing. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, you can play it again over on our podcast page, where you'll also find our extensive archive of spoken word. Head on over to www.3cr.org.au/spokenword and get lost in a sea of words. And remember to tune in to Spoken Word every Thursday at 9 a.m. here on 3CR for more spoken word goodness.